Hey everybody, welcome again to F This Movie. My name is Patrick Bromley, and I'm joined tonight for one of our patent-pending F Everything shows by Doug.
Hello.
He loves to F everything.
I do. I will F. I'm trisexual.
I like the name.
I will try any movie.
I like the name of our website. I like the... But every time I have to do something that I have to put, like, F in front of, I regret the name.
Well, that was an early decision from back in 2010. Like, oh, the site's called F This Movie, and so I'll do an F Directors column. And
or
now
like,
that we're...
F These Movies, that blah, blah, blah. And I've tried to phase most of that out.
Right, because when my Ukrainian aunt corners me at a family party and is like, I'm not going to do my Ukrainian, my patented
Please
Ukrainian
do.
Accent.
Please do.
She says, what is the F?
She's like, little dog.
What is the F?
You have blue jean?
Do you have spool of thread?
Bar of soap?
What make website work? In Ukraine, website. Let's drop that stupid meme. But she cornered me at a family party recently and said, now, the F in F This Movie, what does that stand for? Knowing full well, like...
And said, Ukrainian.
Right. My cousin, her daughter... who is like headed up to here on my hand is at my eyeballs was like with her mother's foreignness. It's like, Mom, you know what it stands for. And of course I felt like, yeah, I'm a little like, but at the same time, I love the name of the site. And I think people out there, the F heads.
Nice. See, I like F heads. I like F This Movie. I like F heads, but F in front of anything else, including F Everything, fills me with regret and shame.
The F Everything though. I think that's a caveat.
Can we say F stands for Furian, which is a, the race of Riddick.
The guy with the...
By the way, remember when a movie came out called Riddick?
You were super excited about Riddick.
And I liked it.
Do you want to take the time right now to give your Riddick review?
Then it was ridiculous. So listen.
I will see through the dark to get to that movie.
Go to our website, please. At fthismovie.net. And follow us on Twitter, please. We're at fthismovie. Also, why not like us on Facebook? Facebook.com/fthismovie. And do me a favor. Email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. Or, you know, you can find us in the iTunes store by searching F This Movie, and you can leave us some nice comments or some positive star rating. Or, you know, a lot of our shows are on iTunes, but to find all of our shows, you have to go to fthismovie.net.
Which shows aren't on iTunes? I know The Exorcist one.
Anything beyond, because iTunes will only hold like 100 shows.
Are you kidding?
I wish I was. It would be hilarious. For us, it's like 97 shows.
I thought there was a way to fix that or bypass that.
I've tried it a million times. It doesn't work. So,
you have to talk to Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
I believe the man you talked to. We're going to have a seance tonight and talk to Steve Jobs.
And if that won't work, we'll just tweet Ashton Kutcher. Yeah, so like the past 100 shows.
A plus K. Help us out here. That's his Twitter handle, by the way. A plus K, and it just looks like A
plus. I feel like it should be at Shibby.
Shibby.
So the past 100 are on iTunes, but you got to find, we're at almost 200 shows. So
what's your tattoo say?
Go to fthismovie.net. Tonight we're talking about basically anything and everything.
Does it have to
But we're going to start with your calls.
Movie.
Wait.
Bring.
Oh, hello.
Bring.
F This Movie.
I'd like to order a pizza.
Go ahead.
Oh, shit.
I'm all about yes and.
Yes. You cannot say no to my improv.
I'm skilled in the improvisation.
Well, let's talk real quick about the end of Scary Movie Month. I think that was a big deal for the F This Universe.
It was. The Funiverse.
The Funiverse. I feel like we had a big participation, a lot of people participating this year.
Yes.
Our Twitter kind of blew up. I think between September 30th and October 31st, we gained over 400 followers, which
awesome.
Is pretty huge.
Thank you.
And our page views were pretty high, and it's not all about statistics. I'm not trying to place these in metric boxes.
I mean, 1 in 5, I don't know where I'm going with that.
But it was, I think, the best marker of the success, not just for the site, but for everyone involved, was the Scary Movie Challenge.
Yes.
We didn't hit 1,500.
We did not.
Which was disappointing, but it was...
I feel like a little bit of that is on you.
Why? Because I didn't post my review for The Fly, 1986?
Yes!
I saw that so late on the 31st. I didn't know the rules. I thought on November 1st, because I saw it so late on the last day,
right.
I thought, well, it's November now.
No, it's fine. If we were at 14.99, we would be fighting.
I know, right?
Now. We would be fighting! No, it's fine.
We would be in such a fight!
Not only did we have a ton of reviews on the Scary Movie Challenge, but another signal, I think, of the success of Scary Movie Month was that everybody was, like, super enthusiastic and really positive. And even some people pointed that out, I think, in the comments on our last weekend thread. Like, this was really great. This felt different from last year for some reason. None of us feel tired. We could all keep going. And I don't know why that is. I don't know why last year a lot of us felt burnt out.
But
and
I will
this
say,
year we did not.
I was pleased because I think that this year also we had a ton of new followers, not just followers on Twitter, but a ton of new people writing comments, and hopefully they'll stick around.
Yes,
please do.
Definitely. Please do. This is the show that's going to retain everyone.
Absolutely. Our wacky hijinks, our cavalcade of whimsy, which is forthcoming, I promise you. But I think there's a lot of new people, and stick around. It's going to be great. We're going to have lots of fun things. We have a good, I think someone wrote this in the comments section too, or maybe on Twitter. They said, and it's hard to believe that only a few months from now, we're doing our
crazy
third annual F This Movie Fest.
Yes.
It's our the world's only all Twitter film festival. We have no other announcement to make about it. We haven't really thought about it, but it will happen in February this year, or of next year, 2014.
We'll have to pick a theme. I don't know if we're going to do another year theme. We might mix it up and try and do something different.
But rest assured, audience, we know what we're doing, okay? No matter what we choose, if it's a year, if it's an actor, if it's a genre, we know what we're doing.
Douglas, you and I only talk on podcasts.
That's right. So I haven't talked to you in over a month.
No, it's been a while. Was there anything you saw during Scary Movie Month that really kind of blew you away?
I was spooked by the following titles. No, I saw a bunch of great stuff. I really liked, we talked about this on a video.
Oh yeah, we do videos too.
That's right. So check out our videos on youtube.com/fthismovie.
Or at fthismovie.net and click the video tab.
Or that.
The newly redesigned fthismovie.net.
That's right. I saw a movie I liked a lot, which I've been thinking about, and it's not really a horror. Well, it's a horror movie, but it's not scary.
No, go ahead. It's not a horror movie.
It's Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon. Yeah. I liked it. I still think about that movie. It's definitely self-aware, and it's some might argue it's up its own ass. I think it's really funny. I think it knows what it is, and I still think it does a lot of what it's trying to do really, really well, and I was pleased by that. I saw for the first time Both Flies, the 1958?
That sounds right, 58.
58 version and the 86 version.
Yes.
And they're both pretty great. I obviously am leaning towards the 86 version because Jeff Goldblum is awesome and Gina Davis is super cute in that movie, even though she has mom hair and my mom's jacket and my mom's clothes and my mom's boob.
Remember when she played the clumsy, ditzy maid on Family Ties?
Yes! She was a fox then, too.
Yes, that show could do no wrong.
Family Ties was the best. I had this fantasy when I was a kid that when Andy, is that the youngest?
Yeah, Brian Bonsall.
Brian Bonsall. When Andy was born, if you recall, the first season he was on the show, he was a baby.
Right.
And then he went, the second season, he was like a four-year-old.
Right.
Not the second season, but the second season he was on, he was a four-year-old. So they just kind of jumped to him and his comedic potential.
So the last few seasons of Family Ties took place in the future.
I assume so.
Okay.
But I was so obsessed with the show, it's still easily my number two or three favorite sitcom of all time. I still laugh at episodes. Like if
what's
it's on,
number one?
I go between Simpsons and Seinfeld. I think that that's a pretty safe standard answer. I think also, Everybody Loves Raymond. Yes, Dear is up there. Grand. Grace on Fire. No, Grace Under Fire. Fudge.
It's all right.
She was thinking of the awesome 90s NBC sitcoms that died a short death. Quick death. But I was obsessed with the show, and I fantasized about being on the show. And I'm thinking, well, if he went from baby to four... At the time, I was probably about 10. I'm like, well, next season or in two seasons, I'll be the 10-year-old younger brother of Alex B.
Keaton. You just had to move out to Hollywood.
I swear to God, I just wanted
get
to...
get discovered.
I was obsessed with the show, and I loved
it. Wasn't he then in Blank Check? Did you have a dream about starring in Blank Check?
I never had a dream about starring
opposite,
in Blank Check.
Opposite Duff, Karen Duffy, was that her name? The MTV VJ?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but
the MTV VJ, Duff. She was a fox.
You mean Sway? I think you're trying to say Sway.
I believe I'm thinking of Jesse Camp.
I believe you're thinking of Gideon Gagu. My name's Gideon Yeager. By the way, you want to hear an awesome Gideon Yeager impersonation? Here
boy,
it comes.
Do I.
This is Gideon Yeager.
Only at F This Movie, everyone. Only at F This Movie.
You know, I'll be honest. I'm kind of disappointed. I tuned into the new Michael J. Fox show.
Yeah.
Because I love him, and he's great. He's in Back to the Future, and he's Alex P. Keaton. And the show is not bad. I watched an episode and a half, and I stopped it, and I looked at my wife, and I said, I'm deleting this. And
I've, not out of
anger, but just out of, like, there's only so many hours in the day.
And I've continued to watch it because of my...
Has it gotten better?
No. Because of my love for Michael J. Fox, I continue to watch it. And I like Betsy Brandt, who plays the wife.
She was on Breaking Bad, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't love the show at all, and kind of wish it could be canceled just so I could be free.
Well, you want you want to know that, like, just like me with Chicago.
I didn't
Code.
Let you down, Michael J. Fox. Okay, NBC did. It wasn't me.
Listen, I watched the entire season of Chicago Code just to say, like, I from start to finish, I was there, and you're going to be that
guy.
You're the guy.
For the Michael J. Fox show. Absolutely.
So Scary Movie Month was awesome, and I forgot. Oh, I saw The Fly, the '86 version, which was great. And I also really liked the original Invisible Man.
Yes.
Which I saw for the first time, 1931 or 30, no, 33.
Yeah, that's
because I think
right.
Dracula and Frankenstein are 31.
Correct.
This is 33, directed by
James Whale,
and starring Claude Rains. I just want to say at the same time as you. So
yeah.
You can, like,
no, you did
then
it.
Say jinx, and
you
then just take over the podcast
and
because
Gloria
you are
Stewart?
Forbidden from talking.
Right? Gloria Stewart?
The woman from Titanic,
yeah. At the end of the movie,
I had no expectations, and it was literally a movie.
That's me throwing the...
Oh, I know what that was.
and then she dies.
That's right. Well, in real
life. In the movie
too.
And in real life. So there's a happy ending.
I had no expectation. It was one of those nights where it was kind of late. I'm like, I want to watch a scary movie.
Did you accidentally watch Memoirs of an Invisible Man?
I watched Hollow Man. So I pulled a couple movies, and my criteria was, I looked at the runtime, and this was like an hour and 17 minutes. And yeah. I'm like, well, I'm going to watch this tonight. And it's really subversive and great and funny and kind of dark and kind of twisted and weird. And I liked it a lot. So I really enjoyed that. I'll be honest, a couple of the movies are a blur. I don't remember. Yeah. So, but it was a pretty good month. I didn't see as many as I saw last year, but
really?
I think my count this year was 35, maybe 36.
That's really good. That's more than one a day.
But compared to you, which I'm sure was about 90.
No, I doubt it.
I guarantee you more than doubled what I saw.
I don't know. I didn't bother to count.
Well, you had two Leslie Vernon reviews. So.
True. True. I did watch it twice.
Me too.
Times with you. Oh,
and
man,
you had seen
we could have been over 1,500.
You've seen it also back in 06 when it
came
out.
Yes, that's right. I've now seen it three times.
So what was your highlights?
Thrice!
Did you have lowlights? Wait, should I talk about my lowlights?
Sure, if you
what
want.
My lowlights?
I didn't prepare, so
Italian,
I don't know.
I'm not prepared either.
Okay.
Italian horror. Go on.
What? You didn't even watch any. I watched like three of those things.
Why?
One
What's
was
your
for
damage,
an article, one
Heather?
Was with you while you slept, and then I don't know why I watched Burial Ground.
He only watches movies while I sleep, by the way. He has to invite me over.
It's the only way I can finish the movie.
In your hair, the movie.
Don't know what my high point would be in terms of new stuff.
Oh, you don't know? Great. This is a very interesting conversation.
Listen, I saw at least 90 movies, according to you, so I can't remember them all.
I am a statistician and a different kind of statistician, and a mathematician.
Of new stuff that I saw, I mean, I liked Grace a lot, which I talked about on a past podcast.
The sitcom starring that female.
Where Grace on Fire. And I liked Black Christmas a lot. That was the first time I'd ever seen Black Christmas.
Okay.
And I was a fan of that. Low points. Honestly, I don't think it ever got lower than I Spit on Your Grave 2.
That was like October 1st or 2nd?
It was the first movie I watched for a scary movie because I had to review it. And boy, it's a garbage movie that I hate a lot. I would rather watch Burial Ground 6 times, mostly just for that one super
Can you talk about
scene.
Burial Ground a little bit?
Mommy. I feel like I talked about it on the podcast that got deleted, so I don't know if that part
just for my benefit, because I love your impersonation, and I'll do sound effects.
Remember? I don't remember. Everybody just watch Burial Ground and fast forward to the scene where weird dwarf, scary child
adult man plays
It's like a 25-year-old man playing a 10-year-old boy.
And it's dubbed, so even the American or English actor is doing... It's an older man doing a younger voice.
Exactly. It's all of these adults approximating a child.
And it's, Mommy, I like to suck on your breast.
Yeah, he tries to make out with his mom, and then he tries to suck on her boob. And then by the end of the movie, he has succeeded, I guess is what I'm saying.
I see nothing wrong with Burial Ground. I want you to be buried in that burial ground.
It's very terrible.
Between those burial mounds.
I watched a lot.
I missed your skin.
I watched... A lot of stuff that I had seen before, and maybe that's why I was kind of happy, because I didn't put all this pressure on myself to only watch.
Last year, did you watch a lot of...
I think so, yeah. And a lot of it's garbage, you know?
Sure. Lots of horror is garbage. I know I'm going to not make fans. I have no fans out there.
No, it's absolutely
true. To start
true.
With, but I think...
I'm your fan.
Even that's debatable.
I'm your number four fan.
After my mom, and my mom's ghost. I'm talking about my dad. I'm not a huge... I love horror movies if they're done really, really well.
Sure.
And I think the genre is great, and it has so much promise, and there's so much that they can do with these movies, And 90% of horror movies are the worst. They're just, like, unwatchable and or cliched and or lazy.
Which is probably true of almost any genre, but...
Sure, but I guess I think the difference, though, is that romantic comedies can never really, like, be... can never elevate to the... Never have the... What are you looking at?
Well, I mean, sure. I guess you've never seen The Sure Thing.
No, what I'm trying to say, there's so much promise in horror movies, and there's so much possibility of how magical they can be, because you can literally do anything. You want to do something demonic, you want to use puppets that come to life, and ghosts and whatever, all these fantastical things. You can do anything. It's almost like a cartoon. Cartoons should always be the most interesting things to watch.
Because they are,
you can
do
anything.
You saw The Croods.
Right? I saw Fish Police.
You saw that one with the turkeys that's in theaters now? What is it? Free Birds?
By the way, I had not even heard of Free Birds, and I'm the trailers guy.
You are.
And I had not even heard of
Free
turkey.
Birds with a Z?
It has to be.
They're
right?
voiced by Woody Harrelson and somebody else. Not Matthew McConaughey. I'm thinking of Surfer Dude.
Did you say Matthew McConaughey?
What should I say? Hey,
I don't know.
Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey.
I always say he, but that's probably wrong.
I usually, I think I find it a soft middle. I say Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey.
Sometimes I'll say Matthew McConaughey just to avoid the argument.
I say Matthew Yegu.
So I watched a lot of stuff that I'd seen before, and on Halloween night I watched Trick or Treat, and
that's a anthology. Anthology, yeah,
and I liked it even more than I remembered liking it. It's a really good movie to watch on Halloween, and it's like 85 minutes, so it's right up your alley.
Well, yeah.
And I feel horrible because I'm a fan of the Anna Paquin. I happen to find her foxy. I can't say anything without spoiling Trick or Treat. All right, forget it. I can't go down this road.
Yikes.
She has a scene where I'm like, how is it possible that she's hotter under these conditions? But...
you want to fuck dead Anna Paquin?
No, she's not dead. She's not dead. Oh. I won't say anymore, but whatever.
You can't say, like, what her condition is?
No, because it's a spoiler for the movie.
Sorry.
But everybody should see the movie because it's good.
So Trick or Treat is great.
And they just announced a sequel.
What? Any movies
Trick or
out
Treat
there?
2.
You said it's great to watch.
More Trick or Treat.
It's great to watch on Halloween.
Yeah.
I noticed Mike Pomero, the awesome, venerable Mike Pomero, who writes and reviews and does stuff for our site, podcasts with you. He says the only movie he watches on Halloween is Halloween.
Because he's lacking in imagination. Guess what movie he watches on Groundhog Day?
Halloween?
That's exactly correct.
I'm wondering, and I'm going to take not issue with what he has to say, because obviously Halloween's a great movie, but it doesn't smack of it doesn't feel like Halloween.
Okay.
It's just a horror movie to me. It doesn't because it has Halloween in the title doesn't mean it's a good Halloween
movie. Well, it's set on Halloween.
But I think there's better movies, and I think you said Trick or Treat
yes.
is a great Halloween movie. What are some other great Halloween movies?
I don't think there's that many, honestly. Halloween would probably be number 2.
Come on, just name some other
ones.
No,
I'm being serious.
No, just do it. Come on.
There aren't that
just
many.
Just Halloween 2?
No, not Halloween 2. That takes
place
in a hospital. I've seen Hocus Pocus once.
You're not a fan.
I don't
Mr.
love it
Whiskey.
As much as some others. Perhaps I need to give it another chance. Halloween 4 takes place on Halloween. Mm.
And you love when Daniel Harris is the foxiest.
That's right. gosh. I mean, I saw a movie this year called Grow Up Tony Phillips that takes place on Halloween, but it's not a horror movie. It's like sort of a romantic comedy, but it's very much about Halloween and wearing costume and going trick-or-treating. So it'd be good to watch in October.
Sure.
But maybe not on Halloween. I don't know. I don't need a movie. Like, I didn't necessarily watch Trick or Treat on Halloween just because it's about Halloween.
Isn't there a great sequence in Scream? Doesn't Scream take place around Halloween?
I don't remember.
Don't they get in costumes at one point?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
In Scream?
I think so.
What do they dress up as?
Doesn't one of the girls...
I mean, the one guy dresses up as Ghostface the murderer.
He's a murderer? Spoilers for
I've
Scream.
Seen a lot of people in that costume. Are they murderers too?
Spoilers.
By the way,
Scream.
Are you ever weirded out in 2013 when you see somebody in like the Ghostface costume? In 97, I was like, yeah, all right, I'm on board. That's fine. This is relevant. But it's 2013, guys.
Well, also in 97 or 98, I want to say your stepsister had a Scream mask.
Yes.
And it was one of these ingenious Scream masks that wasn't just the white mask under a black covering. It actually had a clear plastic cover over the white mask, and if you had a ball that you pumped, and it pumped blood over the white, between the clear plastic and the white.
Thing, the
because
bleeding Scream mask.
Yeah, right. And I remember we did run around a yard at one point with the Scream mask on.
No, we definitely
acting a fool.
Climbed onto a roof and appeared in her window.
To try to scare her. Window,
right. And it worked.
There are many stories, by the way, which we won't get into right now, where we make desperate attempts to scare people, including girls we'd like to court. It's like, hey, cute girl that we find attractive, let's try to scare you right now. Oh, this isn't going well? You're leaving? I don't understand
that. I have scared so many women away from dating me. What?
Isn't Can't Hardly Wait about Halloween? Because
yeah.
Jenna Elfman's in a costume.
It's definitely about Halloween. Definitely about Halloween.
By the way, that's the best scene in Can't Hardly Wait.
Anyway, no, let's get off of...
listen to our Can't Hardly Wait podcast.
Yes! Let's get off Scary Movie Month.
I'm just saying it was a good month. That's all okay. I'm saying. Whatever. Cut me some slack, Jack.
Have you had a chance to watch anything not Scary Movie Month related?
No.
Yeah, no, I kind of figured.
It's only been a few days.
It's only been a few days.
And I've just been catching up on lots of recorded TV, which is boring for
like the Michael J. Fox show.
Right? Yeah, no, and my in-laws are in town.
Yes.
Which is scary. And so it's really been just about, like, talking and drinking Arabic coffee.
Oh, well, that part's not so bad.
and eating baklava.
Oh, you should start your own podcast about those things.
Oh, great.
Here we're talking about movies.
I know, right? Am I disinvited from a future podcast? This is why I'm on the podcast.
I don't have that much to talk about that's not Scary Movie Month related in terms of what I've seen, because I saw Escape Plan, but I wrote about that.
That's right.
I saw a movie called Zero Charisma that I will be posting a review of, so okay. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it on here. The only other thing really I can talk about is that I rewatched the extended cut of Avatar.
That's the cleanser? That's the palate cleanser?
Yep.
It's like, I've smelled all this perfume. Give me the coffee beans.
I had all this work to do on Sunday, and I wanted to put on something familiar. And I went with Avatar. The extended cut with like 12 minutes of extra footage, including the opening on Earth.
Right before Scary Movie Month, I borrowed from Mr. Bromley, I borrowed a book about the making of the Wizard of Oz.
The only book I own. What's I'm not a nerd. The Making of the Wizard of Oz.
That's what it's called?
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
No.
What's it called for real?
The Making of the Wizard of Oz by L.G. Harmitz.
It's not called like Oz, a Story or whatever?
It's not.
Damn it. So I read that book.
It's called Follow the Yellow Brick Road, The Making of the Wizard of Oz.
There you go, right. Yeah. We're not in Kansas anymore.
Over the Rainbow, The Making of the Wizard of Oz.
Toto 2.
I'm high as fuck, The Making of the Wizard of Oz.
This paint is melting my skin, The Making of the Wizard of Oz.
I think that dude hung himself, The Making of the Wizard of Oz.
Dark Side of the Moon, The Making of the Wizard of Oz. So I read this book, and it was my mistake. It's a great book. Everyone should read it. We've talked about that a lot.
What's it called?
I forget. But then Scary Movie Month started.
Yes.
So I've been jonesing to watch this movie, and I told myself, the first thing I'm going
to
watch...
Return to Oz? Or is, Oz the Great and Powerful?
Is Oz the Great and Powerful, directed Super by the great... Good. The great... What's his name?
Sam Raimi?
Sam Raimi.
He is great.
Kind of.
But that movie wasn't great.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's why he's kind of great. The movie had lots of jazz hands. But no, I wanted to watch it,
yeah.
And I just haven't had a chance to because, as I said, the aforementioned in-laws are in town, right. And they're great, and I love them very much, and that's not a joke, or I'm not being sarcastic.
They're C-blocking your Wizard of Oz.
They're totally, it's like my cock is out, and my father-in-law is pushing the head of, the glands of my penis away from the movie. Is that what you're going for?
I said C.
Oh, you didn't say the thing, what I just said? Damn. Dag, yo. So I really want to watch The Wizard of Oz, but actually I might transition that into a Thanksgiving thing, because I feel like that could be kind of a Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah, sure. The thing about that movie, it works great anytime.
Yeah.
Now, were you...
Dinner time? Now?
Did you think of that because Avatar is The Wizard of Oz for the new generation? Or is it because we're not in Kansas anymore?
I would just say, right. No, I thought about you having the palate cleanser, you went back to the standard, a movie
Avatar.
That you... By the way, are you... Is it even further, like, your ingrained love for this movie? Has it gone even...
No, not necessarily.
You're just not, like, obsessed with it? You're not, like,
no.
Writing fanfic about Avatar?
I mean, not that I'm ready to share.
You haven't rented a booth at the next Dragon Con or whatever, some dopey
No,
fest.
But I gotta tell you, it's amazing, because, again, it's well documented on this podcast that I like that movie. I cringe, like... I'm filled with shame for liking that movie at a lot of the dialogue. Like, so much of the dialogue fills me with shame for liking it. And the extended cut, which isn't a better movie, that's really only ever worked, like, a couple of times, right? I know you're not a Lord of the Rings fan, but I saw Lord of the Rings in the theater. I didn't love it. Then got the version that's, like, at least a half an hour longer on DVD and was like, that's actually a much better movie.
Hmm.
Because it
no,
has some breathing
time out. You actually made an argument to me that the theatrical cuts were, I don't know if you said better, but I have the theatrical cuts. And you said these are, maybe just,
I said these are all you will need.
Well, okay. No, for real, that's exactly
And how many
what you
times
said.
Have you watched those?
The cellophane on the DVD case implies...
But your wife likes them, right?
My wife...
She might watch them someday, probably not.
Fantasy, she loves, like, Dark Crystal, Labyrinth, and all that kind
all
of stuff.
All your favorites.
And she recorded it. HBO was showing The Hobbit
now,
and she was watching it.
I haven't rewatched it.
And I was like, do you like it? And she's like, well, it's... She likes it, because I think she, again, with lots of movies, she likes the way it makes her feel.
Yeah.
But I think that the story is... I don't think she's down with the story about The Hobbit. Although, to be fair, like, I don't think she's watching that intently when she's, like, making dinner, taking care of a baby, you know, it's on the background.
Did you have a baby?
Oh, shoot. Spoilers for Doug.
Little Bilbo. I have been waiting to revisit The Hobbit, because when I saw it, I didn't love it. But I don't know if that was because, A, I wasn't in the right mood for it, which is the kiss of death for a movie like that. Like, I just knew as soon as it started, like, I'm in the wrong headspace for this. I'm tired and crabby. I was seeing it in 3D, which I don't like. I was seeing it in 48 frames per second because I wanted to see what that looked like, and I did not like that. So there were all these things.
Describe that feel. What is it again? Like,
I don't know. It
just
looks
like
video British
games
TV.
Or,
yeah.
Or so soap operas, kind of.
There
right?
were all these Downton Abbey. there were all these things working against the movie, and so I've wanted to rewatch it, but I was waiting for the extended cut of that movie to come out, and it just came out today. But I didn't buy it yet.
So you're going to watch an extended cut of The Hobbit. You're going to watch it again.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Why?
I don't know. Like, we love movies and I will definitely watch things again and again and again. But if I don't like it the first time, like, are you thinking you're missing something?
I never watched the extended cut of Lord of the Rings, I wouldn't have started liking that movie so much. And then who knows if I probably would have gone to see The Two Towers. I'm just saying, watching the extended cut of that movie changed my relationship with those movies.
I agree.
I'm hoping it happens again.
In all seriousness, too, I feel like I should probably go back and try to watch those movies again because, no, here's the thing. Like, I do like Star Wars. I like epic-type movies. And
you like the prequels.
I love the prequels. I mean, I like when things are smooth and not rough like sand. but I do feel like I'm missing a lot because there's a whole now kind of, not subculture, but just anyone who's a fan of movies and of like these types of movies, like speak in shorthand and are sharing this camaraderie that I don't experience. And I feel like I'm missing out a little bit.
Yeah. But if it's not your thing, it's not your thing.
Yeah. It's probably not my thing.
Speaking of Star Wars, though,
yes,
should we talk about that?
Let's talk about J.J. Abrams' grittier, darker version of Star Wars.
Oh, I can't wait!
I love when things are gritty.
He's just gonna make it exactly what all of the internet wants it to be, and that's the answer.
More Darth Maul.
This isn't for kids anymore. Like, it was kind of for kids the first time around. Right. Like, it wasn't only for kids, which is part of the problem with the prequels.
You can make an argument in the first
movie. It was for all ages. It was the Wizard of Oz of the 70s, before the Wizard of Oz of the 2000s.
Which is Avatar. In episode 4, the first
movie... They will cut out your eyeballs and eat them for jujubes. That's a line of dialogue in Avatar.
In Star Wars?
In the distant future, right? Avatar takes place, I'm assuming, in the distant future. Earth is destroyed. Jujubes are still being manufactured. where did that company, who even makes those? Like Willy Wonka? I mean the brand. I don't mean like the fantastical character. I mean that company that makes like nerds and stuff. Did they set up shop on another planet?
They had plenty of unobtainium in their vault to continue. I want to talk real quick about the first episode 4, the first movie.
A New Hope.
Am I confusing you yet?
Yeah.
With number 1 and number 4. Okay, in the first movie, there's an annihilation of a planet, an off-screen execution.
Right.
There's lots of crazy, dark stuff going on.
Yeah, but
so
in
I get,
Phantom Menace, a dude gets cut in half.
But my point is, I get what they're saying about in terms of like,
sure.
You know, you can, you know, there's some heavier things here that can be discussed and doesn't have to have the, I think I read somewhere online that someone described the politics of the prequels as the coldness of a Wikipedia article.
And well, that's true.
It does feel that way when they describe things and go through the Galactic Senate, the Imperial Senate, whatever it's called.
Right.
It is just like, I am disinterested, whatever. It's lacking that sort of, as J.J. Abrams called it, like the old Western aesthetic and the feel and the, you know, the good versus evil.
And again, this
blah,
goes
blah,
back
blah.
To this whole idea of Star Wars Cage that I talked about a long time ago, that like when George Lucas made Star Wars, he was making a movie that made him feel like when he was a kid and watched those old serials, and he was trying to approximate that. But then he spent years in a Star Wars cage and was only interested in how things work in Star Wars world. Right. So this is how the government works in Star Wars world. It's like, no, that's not interesting. Nobody will be inspired by that in the future. The way they are by Pacific Rim.
The whole notion of a grittier,
dark... That's Star Wars for this kid's generation.
You know, but let's talk about Pacific Rim.
That's the Avatar. We're all over the place.
Pacific Rim...
I'm so annoyed at Devin Faraci saying, like, it's the Star Wars for this generation.
Well, no, you know why he said that? It's because day one, he said that.
Exactly.
And so when it comes out, he can't go back and say, you know what, guys? I might have been hyperbolic and I might have misspoke.
Yeah, this movie isn't changing people's lives.
Right. No, I think people like the movie fine. Mm-hmm. But let's be honest. The movie is exciting because you get to see robots punching monsters?
Monsters, yeah.
Monsters yeah. in the monster face. So that's why people like the movie. It's robots fighting monsters. That's it. And if we just accept that and not say it's life-changing, that's awesome. Let's make another one, and let's have this cathartic, awesome, dumb experience.
Did you like, what did you like better? Did you like the
Cage.
Yeah, that's what I was going for, so forget it.
That was the joke?
I couldn't Cage. Remember what the robots were called.
Mex? No, Jaegers.
Jaegers. Thank you, Mex, you Robotech nerd.
No, they're all Mexican. They're all Mex. I love Robotech. So J.J. Abrams, and you're totally right, he is, I assume he's online reading, you know, comment threads and people out there
and
on Reddit.
And he's in a shitty situation. Like,
yeah,
Star Wars is kind of in the toilet, and so he has to rescue it, basically.
In 2013, 2014, when everything is immediate in your face and, like, you can go online and read all this stuff and participate in comment threads and blah, 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 blah. Like, yeah, how can you not... Sometimes those worms of ideas will crawl in the back of your head, and all of a sudden you're now taking suggestions, whether you like to or not,
right.
Because this universe exists. There are probably a lot of people more passionate about it than J.J. Abrams. Hmm. So he's definitely going to take that to heart, even if he wants to, subconsciously. And I just think the notion of gritty or whatever is fine, but now it's become this sort of... talking point and just right. This stupid thing. They're like, oh, we're going to make it grittier. Well, and that'll somehow fix
it. The Dark Knight sort of did that to everything. And yeah, that people were upset that, you know, the prequels are too childish. So make this like more violent and darker. And whatever.
What's really dumb too, I heard him say that what it'll have. And I do think that Lawrence Kasdan co-writing it is good.
Hopefully.
Although he also wrote Jedi too, right?
Correct.
So, I mean, Jedi's not the best in terms of its plot lines
and it had
dialogue.
Ewoks, which I don't have a problem with Ewoks, but for all these people whining about, like, the originals were gritty, like, no, they were Ewoks, guys.
So, they are making some good moves, but another thing he said, in addition to the grittier, darker thing, was that he wants to make it more mysterious.
Oh.
How the first movies were mysterious.
Okay.
And I'm not sure exactly what that means, but then...
Does that mean not explaining what the Force is? Because I'm all for that.
Well, I'm all for that, too. We don't need midichlorians to just... whatever.
Right.
However, if mysterious in J.J. Abrams' universe means fucking lost, where it's like, no, we're just going to like set up a bunch of things that we can never
explain.
Or
we won't tell you who the villain is, but it's Khan.
Yeah, I think that's shorthand for being, you know, we're going to have some awesome... seeds of ideas that we don't necessarily know how they're going to end. And I think that's a big mistake.
Well, but that's everything now because they know that they're making three of these. Really, Disney has committed to one a year now that there's going to be all this shit that they introduce that, like, they're not going to answer in the first movie because we know that there's more coming.
You brought something else up to me recently about how now...
That's where I was originally going.
Right.
No, that last week the news came out that... They want Disney's real set on this summer 2015 date for it to come out. And they're kind of behind right now because they just shit-canned the entire script by Michael Arndt. They're rewriting it.
Gonna write the script.
Boom! And everybody, by the way, is like, why he should be the guy, right? I mean, he wrote Toy Story 3. He wrote Little Miss Sunshine. Like, one of those things is not like the other thing, everyone. let's stop applauding the guy for Little Miss Sunshine.
I'm not a huge fan of that movie.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, that is not a thing that you hold up. Like, the dude wrote Little Miss Sunshine, guys. Let's give him a crack at
Remember
Star
that
Wars.
Awesome ending where just it was, it's safe to say I don't like that movie.
I don't think I do either. I've only seen it once and never wanted to go back to it.
Right.
I didn't hate it when I saw it, but I think thinking about it in the years since, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Because it has come to represent a lot of what I don't like about sort of the studio indie, the way backs of the world.
That's a great way to put it, by the way.
Studio Thank you.
No, seriously, Studio Indie. I'm so sick of people saying...
Should I put
saying,
it in the glossary?
I think so.
I'm just kidding.
The indie movie in quotes, like this independent movie. It's right. Like, no, if fucking 20th Century Fox exactly. or Sony
and,
or
right. Gaffin, it stars Greg Kinnear and Tony Collette and Steve Carell, a major TV star.
Like, right. Those aren't indie movies.
Indie.
But it's this weird notion that like, well, we have a smaller budget and they're right. getting scale.
We
so
made this
it's
for
indie.
$15 million instead of $100 million.
Right.
So apparently last week, Kathleen Kennedy, who's producing the movie, went to Disney
Era.
And said, Era, can I push this to December? And, she wanted to push the release date to December of 2015 and was told no.
She was told to take a long walk off a short pier.
Yeah. Like, Era, drive off a bridge. so that's what she did. Right. So... I don't know what that means. It means that they lost possibly 6 months that they could have been working on the movie.
And you mentioned this to me and you were concerned, not concerned yes. because who the fuck are we?
I really
right,
don't.
Exactly.
I have no stake in
but
this.
But you're like, oh, you know, that doesn't bode well for the movie. And I'm thinking, and maybe I'm wrong, F-heads, and let me know at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com.
Or just in the comments underneath this
Please.
Show.
Send it to Patrick so I don't have to see it. I have very low self-esteem. I can't take it. That I think... This universe exists, and you've got a lot of talented professional people whose only job is to make this movie. And I'm like, if they can't pull this off in 6 months less, and I realize a lot of the stuff is the technology.
Right.
But I mean, if you're a script writer, if that's your job is to write a script, crank it out in a fucking week, you know, like get this. And sometimes the best stuff comes out quick.
Maybe. And that's a best case scenario. But like,
thank you.
They should
I take
really...
that as a compliment.
It's a huge undertaking, what they're doing. Not just making a new Star Wars movie, because, you know, let's remember that George Lucas took 16 years between
right.
Jedi and Phantom Menace.
That's it. I mean, it feels like it's 30 years, right?
Right. Technically speaking, it's a huge undertaking, but also, again, they're starting from a place... When Lucas made Phantom Menace... All he had to do was make a Star Wars movie, and we were all on board, because, hey, it's a new Star Wars movie. Not only does J.J. Abrams have to make a new Star Wars movie, but he has to make one that erases the memory of
yeah.
three bad Star Wars movies. So it has to be great.
But I think that's almost built in, too, to some extent. Like, this new one is going to have such a fresh kind of take, just because it's not
Maybe.
Lucas.
But I think people are going in, it's more like you have something to prove instead of I'm excited to see new
it's
Star Wars.
It's not so much like old Han Solo, it's new Mutt, I believe, is what's going to save the Star Wars movies. Young Indiana Jones
Chronicles. My concern is that they're not doing what's best for the movie. Like,
what is best for the movie?
Perhaps another 6 months to get it right, instead of like, we have to hit this release date. Like, no,
well,
take your time.
What else
Listen,
also comes
back,
out in the summer of 2015?
Avengers Age of Ultron and Batman vs. Superman.
So, small movies.
Yeah.
Studio
it's
indies.
Gonna be a, and it's amazing because I really thought this summer was going to be the summer that just broke us because it was just all these huge
yeah.
blockbusters. And they were mostly bad, and I just didn't. Or, you know what? I think it was last summer. Never mind.
What?
It was last summer that I thought was going to break us. Because Man of Steel, I think, was originally going to come out, and it was like Avengers, Dark Knight Rises, Man of Steel, Amazing Spider-Man.
Amazing
like,
Spider-Man.
All these movies were coming out in the same
well,
summer.
All the kind of
and one of them ended up being good, so it's fine.
Which one?
Avengers.
Yeah, you're right.
Thank you.
I owe you this.
Although I do, I... When Dark Knight Rises is on HBO, I always leave it on. Because I, for like 10 or 15 minutes at a time, I kind of like how it feels. And
sure.
Anne Hathaway is in the
well,
leather
no, it's
suit.
A very familiar,
and,
comfortable, like
yeah.
in the hands of a capable director.
And I really want to like it more
You like
than
the
I
universe.
Yeah.
I also feel like that movie is one long scene.
Kind of.
It's
but all of Christopher Nolan's movies are kind of cut that way.
Yeah.
Which is...
I guess that makes a 2.5 hour movie feel more, you know, feel quick. The music,
yeah,
the scenes
definitely.
Never kind of cut between the things.
Yeah.
I always feel like I'm catching, and I feel it's totally fantastical because Heinz Ward would never run unobstructed to the end zone in Heinz Stadium.
I don't get what you're
yeah.
saying.
Football!
So I worry that they're making the wrong decisions based on like, no, it has to come out in the summer because other Star Wars movies came out in the summer and we're Disney and we have to like please the
Well, what comes out November this month,
you know?
November, Thor.
Yeah,
Age of Ultron comes
can't
out.
Wait.
So why, I mean, is, and here's what we've been noticing, not just you and I, but everyone listening, everyone in the world, is that the summer obviously is not just June, July, August.
Yeah, right.
It's now May, June, July, August. It's now April. What comes out?
You basically get sort of like
Captain America: The First Avenger.
You kind of get January, February, September, October off. The right. rest of the year is summer, so you have about 8 months of summer movies.
So I think if they did push it to December or January, typically when they release shit movies,
right?
They're now saying this is a viable month,
right?
And it's open season on everything.
You know what came out in December? Avatar. It's the Star Wars Wizard of Oz of our generation.
By the way, listen to our Avatar podcast.
And for
episode number one.
Episode one, The Phantom Menace. For all my annoyance at James Cameron, like, taking a really long time with his Avatar sequels, I do feel like, hopefully, he's trying to get it right.
Well, the technology for sure, but no matter what, the dialogue
will suck.
It's
going to be
a garbage
script, right? But he has brought on other writers.
B-hole.
Yeah, he's brought on other writers, so maybe
Lawrence
they will
Kasdan,
help.
The guy who wrote Little Miss Sunshine?
He got Michael Arndt.
So good.
Michael Arndt's scheduled suddenly
so
freed
good.
Up.
I just love when she takes the stage and the whole family bonds over
yeah,
something that would never happen.
That's what's
going
to happen at the end of Avatar.
It reminds me of the end of Love, actually, where it's like this stupid play. Like, why does it have to, like, these movies have to end with this event
yeah.
that is fantastical and ridiculous?
Well, it's either that or it ends with people running through an airport. Wait, Love Actually does both.
I know. It's like, we can't have it both ways. We have to have it both ways.
Can we all agree that Love Actually isn't as good as we all think Love Actually is?
I'll tell you a quick story about Love Actually.
We're coming up on the Christmas season. People are going to be watching this
Absolutely.
Movie like crazy.
Two
USA
ago,
is going to show it on a daily basis.
2 years ago,
TBS will be showing The Holiday.
I was at my mom's house. And on the way back, I told my wife, I'm like, I'm really jonesing. It was probably the first, like, really crisp, you know, Christmassy winter
yeah.
night. I'm like, I really want to watch.
Christmassy winter is my favorite Bond girl.
It's my favorite cup of herbal tea. I really want to watch.
Herbal tea is my second favorite Bond girl.
I want to watch this movie. We made a point, driving back to Chicago from the suburbs, I made her stop at a mall in Norwich, the Harlem Irving Plaza, to stop at a Best Buy, which I haven't been in a Best Buy in years, and I made her run in and get it because I'm like, I don't want to go inside,
yeah.
but you need to buy this for me. And we bought Love Actually, and it was probably like $20 because, you know, it's like there's no reason this movie should cost this much. And I will, and I'm like, oh, we'll definitely watch it every year. It'll be our thing. Put it on the memory of it, like a lot of those 90s British romantic
Came
comedies.
Came out in the 2000s, but okay.
But you know what I'm saying, like
yeah.
the Notting Hill,
yeah.
which doesn't quite hold up as well as you want it to.
Probably not.
Love Actually, no, it's not good at all. And there's certain scenes you like a lot.
Yeah.
And there's certain scenes where there's like two stand-ins like that are naked and they're talking about their blah, blah, and it's, and I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
And what's the name? What's the redhead's name? Laurel Linney has a brother and she wants to be with this swarthy Spanish guy. It's
yep.
like, these are characters in Love Actually. We only remember Hugh Grant and Keira Knightley and the cutesy stuff, but
right.
there's lots of weird, and they try to be dark because British are weird with their movies. It just doesn't quite work.
There are storylines that work. There
sure.
are performances.
Absolutely. I still like the Hugh Grant secretary thing.
Me too, because that girl is so cute.
No, she's fat.
That's part of my problem with the movie too, is that we're supposed to accept a reality in which people are like, really? Her? Like, she is adorable.
Yeah, she's super cute.
Emma Thompson is actually really good.
I got to take a bite of her crumpet.
And in the
Bangers and Mash,
I don't
know.
I still don't follow.
The Beatles.
Emma Thompson gives a really good performance and
yeah.
has this scene where she breaks down in a kitchen in the middle of the movie and you're like, oh, you're in a different movie from everyone else. And
right.
that's really, really good. And the Bill Nighy stuff is still
I do
funny,
like that,
but then
yeah.
like the guy goes to Wisconsin and like Alicia Cuthbert is there to ruin a movie. And,
she ruins no movies.
Shannon Elizabeth and January Jones and that Russian girl, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't even think of her name.
Ivana something.
Humpalot?
Yeah, it's Ivana Humpalot.
Your fourth favorite Bond girl.
That's because my third favorite is Minnie Sucks Dicks. I just don't think that movie's as good as I want it to be.
You know, it's so funny. Like, here I am saying, like, I bought this movie. My expectations were so high. I really wanted to watch it. We put it on. Horribly disappointed expectations.
Yeah.
In talking about it right now, as I'm saying how
you
bad
totally
it is.
I
want to watch it, yeah. like, soon.
Are there movies? Okay, obviously, besides It's a Wonderful Life, your favorite movie.
Love it. Every Christmas Eve, talked about it. Move on.
Yeah, I have. but around the Christmas time of year, are there movies that you go to every year?
Christmas Vacation is awesome.
Okay.
It's,
I like it.
It's some in my family, and this is the wrong opinion, but some people in my family think it's better than the original Vacation.
Yeah, no, it's not.
No, the original Vacation
but
is
it's still
better.
Good.
But it's still a pretty great movie.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge... I'm not to say I'm not a huge fan, but I'm just not as familiar with Christmas Story as everyone else. Okay. Like, I've only seen it maybe twice.
I like it a lot. I never watch it at Christmas.
No, people obsess about that movie, and it's on all the time.
I watched it a ton as a kid.
And I have nothing bad to say about it.
Yeah.
But it's not one of those movies I go to.
Right. It's not one of yours.
Aside from, I honestly, if I were to watch anything, I'd almost watch some of the cartoons, like the Charlie Brown Christmas and things like that.
Like that Claymation Christmas with the California Raisins?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here we come, a wassailing.
Shit, I was thinking about that yesterday.
Really?
I swear to God. Because I was singing it, my daughter was crawling, and I started singing, Here I Come, a Waffling, I think, is the joke in the California Raisins Christmas special.
There was a run where they were showing, I think, that clip before...
By the way, the California Raisins were a thing.
Right?
It's an ad
campaign.
And
we as a country just went crazy for
them. We also went fucking crazy for Elf.
And the Noid. Like, why were we impressed with these things?
He hates pizza. I understand that. But we, Chester Cheetah, the Noid, Elf,
spokespeople that just melted our hearts.
Think
about
it.
Fucking California Raisins.
Elf.
They just sang Motown.
Check out Elf. Okay, so Elf was a bad sitcom.
Yeah.
A really bad sitcom
that
was a phenomenon.
Yeah.
That was a comedy that
like adults watched.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Same as like Dinosaurs and stuff like that, which my wife's family watched, and she still
for
quotes
real?
To this day. She still sings Now I'm the Baby Gotta Love Me.
I was the audience for Dinosaurs because you know I love puppets, animatronics, all that shit.
You love makeup, I know that. And silk stockings.
I could not. I love
the TV
show Silk Stockings.
USA. Oh, all nice.
I could not get through an episode of Dinosaurs. Not one.
No, because you're not the mama. You
I've
just don't get
never
it.
Never seen
Not the mama.
I was all, where's the laugh track?
The last episode of Elf ends with Elf being taken by the government. That's how it ends.
I didn't know that.
It's not because he was...
I didn't see it through to the end.
But here's the deal. Because they thought, oh, there'll be an Elf movie, which there still might be, by the way. But they thought in the 80s or the early 90s that there would be an Elf movie.
Why
so it was going to end with this like cliffhanger.
Right.
He's being taken to be
so
dissected.
That in the movie we could see.
Right. And it's like, no, it just ends up being the weirdest ending. Like Michael Gross saying, in Family Ties, the family should die on a plane crash. That's how the series should end.
So was Willie so upset about Alf being taken that he just turned to child porn?
I believe. I mean, wouldn't you?
No, it wasn't child porn. I'm confusing him with...
The principal from First Bear.
Yes, Willie was like a crackhead.
Yeah, he was.
But I feel like there's weird sex things with him, too. Or maybe that's just I'm into weird sex things.
No, I think in order
Willie
to get the crack... You need to do anything weird sexual that you can because crack, it's a great joke. It gets really high.
What were we talking about? Oh, Christmas movies that we watch. Oh, totally weird, stupid biographical tangent, right?
Yeah, I don't like those.
In like 1990, I guess it would have been, 91, my parents had split up. So I would go see my dad sometimes on weekends and stay at his apartment. And for some reason, we would go to... This has no meaning to anyone outside the northwest suburbs of Chicago, the Stratford Square Mall Theater, where I never went otherwise. That wasn't our mall. That wasn't our theater.
But it's Universal in that you went to someplace new.
Right. So we were going there, and they showed, like, they had, like, a pre-show before anybody had a pre-show, and so I kind of liked it, like... And one of the things they showed...
Like on-screen cinema type? Or on-screen
Yeah, now
trivia.
I hate it because it's commercials and all that stuff. But there, it was, like, trailers, and they would show those little... Claymation Christmas shorts. And I just remember like going to see several movies around this time. It was like Kindergarten Cop and Predator 2 and like, and seeing, so that's what I think of when I think about that. Here we come a waffling. I think of like going to see Predator 2 with my divorced dad.
There was, Ignaty Vishnevetsky, who I'm not a fan of.
He wrote the thing about Last Action Hero today.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I appreciate the case he made. It made me want to revisit it.
I just thought about that because you mentioned
I think some
Kindergarten
of,
Cop.
Yeah, I think something he said about the opening shot was really interesting, the way that it talks about, like, fictional reality and then real fiction and then fiction back to fictional reality. It was interesting.
Yeah.
When that movie came out, I'm such an Arnold Schwarzenegger fan and was such an Arnold Schwarzenegger fan in 93.
And am still.
Am still, absolutely. When Jurassic Park was out. I think Last Action Hero came out like a week later.
Yeah.
And I remember Jurassic Park came out. And I love Jurassic Park. But I remember thinking like, enjoy it now, Jurassic Park. You got a week. because the last action
heroes. Take all your money, dinosaurs.
Exactly. And then Last Action Heroes coming out, and it's going to blow you guys away.
Awesome.
And I saw it opening weekend, and I was like, oh, no.
This isn't my favorite,
but I definitely had the soundtrack and listened to Big Gun by AC/DC.
That's a good transition. So Jingle All the Way is another
totally
one
on purpose.
You go to, your Christmas go-to movie.
Of course.
What's the channel that plays it 24 hours a day?
They don't do FX? It anymore. It was FX.
They did it. They decided. They made the bold choice. Yeah. We're going to show this 24 hours yeah. a day.
Now they do like a lot of like Deck the Halls and
Christmas with the Cranks.
Christmas with the Cranks. Yeah, the real gravy. Fucking JVs. You know, I want a channel that shows Surviving Christmas for 24 hours.
Here's the deal with Christmas movies. It's easy to make a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a built-in audience and a built-in season, and you have like automatic returns. If you're going to say,
right.
if you just make a romantic comedy, there's never a season in which
right.
someone can pull your movie, like Halloween, they can pull a scary movie. Right. Like this is, you're almost guaranteed future watches.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
It does.
But I feel like a lot of these movies that came out in the 2000s specifically are instant classics. I've talked about Elf before. Elf is fine, and there's definitely things to like about Elf, but yeah. like it does not belong in the Christmas canon, is my point.
It's really the only recent movie that has gotten there, though, probably since Christmas Vacation, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Although a lot of people put Scrooged in there as well.
I like Scrooged. Scrooged is great.
Scrooged is fine.
No, right? I watched Scrooged again for the first time last year in a long time, and that movie is awesome.
It's fine.
You gotta watch it again. Pause the podcast.
All right, yeah. But again, I don't know that I would include it alongside A Christmas Story and It's a Wonderful Life and no. Elf, you know, all my favorites. I tend to watch around Christmas.
What about like Miracle on 34th Street?
I've never seen it.
I have never seen that either.
I'm the worst.
we have no business hosting it.
Nope. God, it was like only within the last few years that I saw It's a Wonderful Life.
Did you like it?
It was fine.
Fuck
it's
you.
No Scrooge.
Fuck off, dude.
No, I did like it, of course.
Yeah, no, sure, it. Whatever. I like Phantom of the Paradise.
We talked about it, right? Didn't we talk about it? Because I was like, it's weirdly obsessed with money. Didn't we talk
yeah,
about
it's
that?
About, it's a parable about the moral struggles of the perpitude.
I will sometimes put on like a bad romantic comedy set at Christmas. I've seen The Holiday more times than
sure.
I should.
Well, you love the one scene in The Holiday.
2.5 hours long.
Where Cameron Diaz runs and then stops and then runs.
Well, she thinks about it and then she's like, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Could do me a favor. I mean, if you're listening right now.
Turn on TBS.
Yeah. There's a scene.
Now, between now and January.
It's got to be five minutes long where she runs and pauses and thinks and runs and pauses and thinks. This is like the climax where she's
yeah.
going to go reunite with her love or
yeah.
whatever. Is her love Jack Black in that movie?
Jude Law.
Okay.
Kate Winslet's love is Jack Black. And that's the thing that really messes me up on The Holiday, because there's enough to like in The Holiday if you like those sorts of movies. And
they're pretty hard not to like.
I really like Kate Winslet, and I really like her in that kind of movie where she's not just like, acting! She's not like, read to me, I'm a Nazi. So it's fun to see her like loosen up and just sort of play in a romantic comedy. The problem is that she's playing opposite Jack Black in like sensitive nice guy mode, and it just feels so insincere
yeah.
and kind of
no
gross.
He's all "Twas beauty killed the beast."
He's all
"slayed the beast" or whatever
he
says.
It's there's something so off-putting about it, like that he's
no he's
maybe
great,
kind of rapey. I don't know, and he's not at all, but the disconnect between like he's acting too nice. I feel like he's definitely hiding something.
Jack Black is great in High Fidelity. Jack Black is great in even School of Rock.
Sure,
like him.
He's playing Jack Black.
Right. Jack Black is great in The State. Not The State.
Nope.
Mr. Show. God damn.
Yeah.
Jack Black should not play these. He's great in Envy, is my point. Vaporizer.
I almost called it Poo Be Gone, which is not a play on words the way Vapoo Riser is.
Poo Be Gone! Let's read on the website! Poo Be Gone. The website about Envy.
So I don't watch romantic comedies as much as I tend to watch, like, any Shane Black movie. Like, I'll totally watch...
Die Hard.
Lethal Weapon.
Shane Black has nothing to do with Shane
Black,
but that's the...
I definitely watch Die Hard every Christmas.
A Christmas, for sure, yeah.
Lethal Weapon... Long Kiss Goodnight, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
You watch Long Kiss Goodnight, that's not an easy movie to watch.
But it takes place around Christmas.
I know.
And I don't own Iron Man 3 yet, but maybe I would watch it around Christmas, because it's set at Christmas, right?
Yeah.
I can't see myself watching Iron Man 3 every Christmas. But I definitely, like,
that's
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is
well,
a big one.
Well, you are
one.
Mr. Heavy Action.
Oh, thanks.
Hashtag, by the way, read the Escape Hatch. I'm sorry, Escape
Please don't.
Plan.
Please don't.
Column on F This Movie. Patrick wrote about it. It's very good. I read the whole thing from cover to cover.
Wow. Yeah. It's.
By the way, I'm looking for a compliment. Like, wow, Doug, you read the whole
thanks
thing.
Thanks for reading
you're welcome.
It.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. I really could have just written, like, and that, you know,
right.
That could have been the column because it was a bummer.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone is kind of the worst. Like, I still like him for what he represents.
I think you
made But when is the last time I liked him in a movie?
You made a great point. Like, in interviews.
Yeah.
He seems like a really outgoing, doesn't take himself too seriously, fun, like, tries to make jokes, even though he's not totally successful at that all the time. Like, he's a funny person, or tries to be.
Right.
And it's, I mean, he is Mr. You know?
Yeah, no, he's terrible in that movie.
He's like, it's over, Johnny. It's over. No, it's over. What movie is that?
That's First Blood.
First Blood,
yeah. That doesn't. Changing subject, I guess. Although, certainly, Escape Plan is one of the best movies of the year. Now that Scary Movie Month is over, I sort of articulated those words. screener season has begun for me, and I say that not to brag. I say that because I'm sort of, now I get inundated with...
Patrick's a member of the...
Online Film Critics Society.
So he gets tons of screeners, but what's unique, or what I didn't know, and again, I know a lot of people out there probably know this, but I didn't know that these are kind of stamped...
Yeah.
Only for you.
Right.
That there's like a code, and and I've seen a couple in your basement with you, and you've been, you know, kind enough to allow me to see them. Not breaking the law, people, but it says on there, you know, this is for screener only. You cannot lend this out. You cannot whatever. But there's a stack that I saw before we record this that I recognize maybe two titles of 15 DVDs, and they all look like they're the worst.
Well, they're not. One studio every year sends a huge packet of...
Do you want to say what studio that is?
Magnet or Magnolia. they send basically everything they put out throughout the year. And the problem is that a lot of those movies are the same movies that show up, like, on demand throughout the year. Like,
sure.
The same day as theaters. And so I've watched...
By the way, that on-demand thing is only Comcast, I think.
I mean, there's other VOD services, but yeah, you have weird Dish stuff, so you don't
Dish
get
is
it.
Great otherwise, except for it only plays stuff... It only The on-demand is, like, when the DVD's released.
Right.
I wish there'd be some theater stuff. Although Netflix just came out with a big thing. They're, I'm not sure what they call the title of this person, but he's like the chief content.
Scott Netflix.
No, Kevin. So he said that he's in charge of content, I assume, like all the, what's that Netflix movie with, or the series with Kevin?
House of Cards.
He's in charge of original programming. He's in charge of all that stuff. And he made
Orange is the New Black.
Yeah. And he talked about how he's really, well, I think it was more hinting as opposed to quantitative action about how he wants to approach studios in the future about doing Netflix releases on the day that movies are released in theaters.
Interesting.
Which, I mean, it blows up the whole model.
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, for those people, especially those with kids or those who can't make it to the theater... I can't see how that's a viable business option, though, for theaters like AMC or...
Yeah, and we'll see if it happens. I remember when Steven Soderbergh released Bubble, like, multiple platforms on the same day. I think it came out on DVD, it was on video on demand, and in theaters on the same day, and everybody was like, well, this is the end, this is it.
It's so
and
funny
here
too.
We are 13 years later, and nothing's
changed. Let's be honest, Bubble's a great movie.
It's not going to do... That's not the movie that's going to do it.
It's not Star Wars.
Remember, though, when they were going to do Tower Heist? Like, you could watch Tower Heist at home, but it was like $30 or $40 or more. They were going to do that with, like, a major studio release that you could watch it at home.
That seems...
Opening weekend.
That seems like, super pricey.
It's
but
super
can,
pricey, and Tower Heist is not the movie to
exactly,
prove it. You know?
Exactly. But I do think that the model, if there is a model there to be set, it's probably a little more than theater prices, just to kind of offset.
Right.
You know, like, I'd rather pay... I'm paying $10 at the theater, or I'm going to pay $15 at home and save gas and save...
Right.
And not do all that stuff. But I do think that there's... I mean, there's something there. In fact, there's a... I read some study about how, you know... Typical people who, quote, steal movies or steal music.
So everyone.
Everyone, right. Exactly.
Not us.
Not, I swear. Not,
no,
I'm
me
not,
too.
Yeah,
I
make
refuse
a
to do that.
Very conscious choice not to steal movies and
Absolutely.
Not to steal music. But those people, specifically the younger
A-holes.
Set. younger people, those people who like are very comfortable, very okay with stealing stuff, they've said time and time again, and I think there's actual, it's not just what they say, but I think there's actual data to back this up, that if they said that if there was a way for them to get the stuff legally, through legal channels, even if it costs a fee, that they would do that, but they're resorting to torrents and all these other things because they have no other option. Of course, the other option is going to the theater or buying a physical copy. I think for music, it's less, it's more for movies because movies is definitely, there's real estate, you know, and there's houses of cinema built for this purpose.
Right.
And there is something obviously to be said for the communal theater sharing experience. But my point simply is, it's coming. I don't think there's going to be one movie or one experiment, be it Bubble or Tower Heist or whatever this guy from Scott Kevin Netflix is talking about. But I do think in the future you will see these experiments, specifically because Netflix has proven to be, they're not just, you know, they've transitioned from physical format to
more
streaming.
They have more subscribers than HBO now.
Right.
Well, Spielberg and Lucas just a couple months ago sort of predicted that, like, going to the movies is going to be like going to the theater or the opera in the future. Like, it's going to be this high class thing there you pay a premium for because everybody else is just watching their shit at home. The point is this.
I don't know about that.
The stack of screeners that I got, a lot of the titles that I would have wanted to see are the movies that I wanted to see when they played on video on demand. So I ordered them for like $10 each or whatever.
Sure.
So I've already seen Drinking Buddies or ABCs of Death or whatever. And a lot of them are on Netflix already because this company tends to put stuff on Netflix the day that it comes out on DVD, which is awesome.
And it's probably pretty smart of them. I mean, they've got a business model.
It's pretty awesome. But anyway, I'm excited about the screeners. The point is this. Screener season is starting. I have a lot of movies to catch up on, especially some smaller things that I didn't see or documentaries or whatever. But just before we started recording, Doug and I were talking, and we realized there's less than 2 months left in the year. I do have a lot of things I need to see. There are still a few movies coming out that I'm looking forward to. But if asked right now, I don't think I could make a top five best of the year list.
No?
I don't think I could pick a number one.
Just name some.
I don't have a favorite movie of the year.
Rattle off some of the big movies this year.
It's fucking November. Right. I couldn't right now. I mean, I'm drawing a blank.
Fast and Furious 6.
That was one.
And
Man
we're done.
Of Steel.
We're done. Pacific Rim, Star Trek Into Darkness.
Right. I mean, these are all. I meant to talk about that too when we were talking about Star Wars. I meant to
real quick.
It.
I would not put any of those. I mean, aside from Fast and Furious 6, and maybe Pacific Rim if pressed, like because I did have fun at the theater.
Right. Like Gravity will probably end up on my top 10. Can I say
Captain Phillips?
I don't think Captain Phillips will, and it's not because I don't. It's not because I have any problem with Captain
what
Phillips.
What about War Horse?
War Horse might be on there. I mean, I still liked I Declare War a lot. Like, there's still movies I liked a lot, but there's nothing that, like, in years past, there's at least one movie that I flip out for, right? It was Cloud Atlas. It was Super 8. It was Inception. It was Inglourious Basterds. Whatever.
Sure.
Like, I just would flip out for this movie. There has not. I have not had one of those experiences this year. Am I going to have it in the next 7 weeks? Probably not, unless American Hustle is just that good.
It might be.
I certainly
or the Wolf
hope
of Wall
it
Street?
Is.
Oh, that might be.
I hope.
There's a new trailer for that. It looks pretty awesome.
I haven't watched it yet. It's probably not going to be the new Hunger Games, which I got to tell you, I know you're looking forward to it. Feels like work to me. Like, I have...
Not for me.
No interest
in the preview really... The preview. I mean, we're talking about previews, obviously, but the
watching previews with Doug.
The preview impressed me in as much as, like I said before numerous times, like, they feel like...
There were a lot of shots of Jennifer Lawrence.
Well, right. She's dancing in yoga pants. It's all good. It didn't seem to make the same missteps that a lot of sequels with new directors, whatever. Yeah. But again, we're talking about trailer, a preview. As you know, the new Texas Chainsaw or the Jessica Biel Texas Chainsaw trailer is the best trailer ever.
For and a then, garbage movie.
Right.
I can't think of that many things that I'm, like, super looking forward to still. Spike Lee, Old Boy. I don't see a lot of these movies ending up on my top 10 list, but there are some movies that have come out this year that are supposedly great that I never got around to seeing. So maybe if I catch up with some of them,
not too many though. You haven't seen Rush, but I don't think people are still talking about Rush.
Right. But there were some smaller movies. I have to see Blue is the Warmest Color at some point.
I have to see it too. There are a couple scenes from it.
And I won't even say that like, oh, it's been a horrible year for movies because I don't even know if I can make that case. I know I didn't like the summer. I thought it was a bad summer, but
has it been with Fast and Furious 6?
Has it been bad for the year overall? I don't know, but I just know that I don't have five favorite movies so far this year, and that's crazy this late in the game.
Yeah, you're not as crazy about Gravity as everyone else is. I mean,
no, I really liked Gravity. It would right now it would be in my top 3.
I made a big mistake. I watched Real Time with Bill Maher. That's a mistake by itself, by the way. Because that show, we don't talk about politics, but there's things you want to love and
real smarm with Bill Smarm.
Exactly. There's things you want to like and things that like you know you might agree with, but just the presentation is just like ah.
Yeah.
He ruined Gravity. He spoiled really? Gravity. He said a huge effing spoiler.
Oh, that's not cool.
In the middle of a because Neil deGrasse Tyson was there, the physicist right, and the right. astrophysicist, whatever. And he said
he was also on an episode of Stargate Atlantis, playing himself.
I was just bummed out. I like deleted the episode and I'm like, I'm never watching your show again.
Yeah,
like, because the point for him is like, he's just going to be the dick.
Right.
It's like, so right. what's the point? Because Gravity is not the Crying Game. It's not been out forever.
Right,
no,
right.
It's been out for a month.
And it's not a movie that's contingent on
I know that too.
Twists or anything like that. You know, you could still see the movie.
We could definitely talk about like Sixth Sense and not have to say spoiler, but
right, right.
I do want to like, you know, and maybe it's my fault because I was so engrossed in Scary Movie Month that I didn't get a chance to go see it yet.
Yeah.
And also I want to go with my wife because she is the type of person who like has to, like, I love my wife and I might be going off a, probably shouldn't go here right now, but I will. My wife is great, and I love her very much, but she oftentimes, if I say, like, oh, there's these movies I want to see, I'm going to start watching them, and she'll be like, oh, wait, I want to watch that too. Even Scary Movies, and she's not a fan of Scary Movies.
Right, right.
And I'll be like, oh, no, but I want to see this, but wait for me.
Right.
You can watch the other one by yourself.
I have a little bit of that, and again, I also love my wife and your wife. With the stack of screeners that I have, it's sure. like, I have 50 movies I need to watch, you and I know that Erica would like me to wait to watch a bunch of them with her, which would be ideal, but, like, I need to watch them at odd hours just to get through them.
Right.
So, like, I gotta stay up till 2 a.m. so I can finish watching Prince Avalanche, and I'm sure she would love to watch it with me, but it's just not gonna work.
So with Gravity, too, it's been a thing where we have a newborn and blah, blah, blah. I know I've bored everyone with that these stories before, but I wanted to get to Gravity. It's like, well, I can go, I have a couple hours here, a couple hours there, but it's like, oh, no, we can't because of this
right.
circumstance. And I'm just like, I just want to go, I want to ditch work one day and just go. I shouldn't say that on the podcast either. I mean, I want
to
definitely
not saying
work.
You're going to.
I
want to
work harder
to.
At my desk. Work smarter.
Yeah, no, I know you haven't yet seen Gravity or Captain Phillips, and I think that you would really like both of them.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think.
You also thought I'd love 1408.
I did think that you would really like 1408, and I don't remember why I thought you would
There's
really like
There's definitely things I love about 1408.
Yeah, you know what else that director made? Escape Plan. So he is not one to watch, I guess, is my point.
What's the director's name?
Oh, gosh. Mikhail Hofstrom? I'm pulling that out of nowhere.
Out
so
of your b-hole?
I could be wrong about it.
Gotcha.
The point is this. We're going to have to do, like, our favorite movies of the year show coming up in, like, 2 months. And
right. No, it's going to be a struggle. Not a struggle.
It's
going to
be, like, six slots of Thor the Dark World.
The Age of Ultron.
And then 4 Age of Ultrons and 1 Avatar extended cut.
I'm so much more stoked about Captain America the Winter Soldier, and I wrote this in the trailers thing from a couple weeks or last week that I would never have thought that Captain America is like, that's one of the best ones.
It looks pretty good.
I like his sincerity. I like when he's tonguing my balls.
I meant to bring this up too, and maybe this will be the last newsy thing that we cover. Have you seen Newsies? When we were talking about Star Wars, I meant to bring this up, that they're talking about now Joe Cornish directing the new Star Trek movie. Joe Cornish made Attack the Block, and that he might be the new director of Star Wars. What do you think? The new director of Star Trek, rather.
Well, I really dug Attack the Block.
Yes.
And I love Cornish Game Hens.
Correct.
It's a delicacy.
He was also one of the writers of The Adventures of Tintin. So if we can just bring that Tintin magic to the USS Enterprise.
The Adventures of Tintin has been on my DVR for months, if not a year.
Listen to this. Directed by Steven Spielberg, produced by Peter Jackson, written by Edgar Wright, Joe Cornish, and Stephen Moffat, who does Doctor Who. Like, that fucking pedigree.
That's a dream team.
Oh my God.
Who's the Larry Bird in that situation?
Me.
It's been on my Tintin DVR.
I'm all about threes.
Larry Bird was he a three shooter?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah. You're right. I thought it was a four, maybe a five, maybe a post.
He used to win the 3-point shootout when they used to have that.
No, Larry Bird did not win the 3-point shootout.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Maybe he did. I'm thinking of Dennis, wait, no, what's his name?
Dennis
Craig,
Hobson.
Craig Hodges.
You're
Craig,
thinking of Danny Ainge. Robert Parrish?
Robert Parrish. I'm thinking of
Kevin McHale. Who's the fifth one? Oh, God, I have 4 of the 5 starters for the Celtics, but I can't think of the number 5.
Dennis Rodman. Tintin has been my DVR forever, and I am excited about Cornish directing this new Star Trek's because Attack the Block was a pretty great. Although I should revisit Attack the Block because I liked it a lot. But who knows? Maybe it's kind of like the novelty of it is really what. Another newsy piece. My last newsy thing.
Yeah.
What's his name? That's pretty, a great way to start pretty, any it's newsy.
Pretty
thing.
Newsy.
Hugh.
Newstastic.
Jackson. No.
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh. No, I think I'm right. Let me say my words.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackson.
Yes.
Brother of Hugh Jackman, Got who it. Is the person I'm talking about.
Got it.
Has agreed in principle or in theory to sign on for the 9th Wolverine movie.
Would that be the 9th? Gosh.
With, what's his name? Right. With,
James Mangold.
James Mangold. Yeah. Mangold.
I liked the most recent.
You loved the Wolverine.
No, didn't love it. I liked it. I really liked a lot of it, and then I didn't like the last act.
You loved Wolverine.
So
what's the one, the bad one? What is
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
X-Men Origins Wolverine, yeah.
Is, like, one of the worst things
I put that movie
see.
On when I was cleaning once. Just like
FX shows it a lot.
This is years ago. And in the background, it was angering me.
It's one of the worst.
Because then something would happen, I'd look. And I'm like, this is what I'm pausing for? There's dust that needs to be Swiffered up.
It's one of the worst, like, big-budget sort of summer movies of the last several years.
Listen, I'm of the mindset, and I know, I think John Murphy on our website disagreed with me, and that's totally fine. But I'm of the mindset that
fine?
we're frenemies. I think that the X-Men needs to be put to bed for a bit.
Okay.
I think we're now rebooting it and doing, you know, Days of Future Past. It's like,
did you watch that trailer?
I did, yeah. It's not the worst, but it's not anything that makes me excited about watching the next movie.
Right.
It
looks awfully angsty.
I just feel like it needs to be, we just need to put these characters to bed a little bit and maybe wait until there's a need or desire of the fans. If they're clamoring for more X-Men, listen, there will always be a built-in audience clamoring for more X-Men.
Yeah.
But you have to wait until the next tier clamors for more X-Men, which is like the cash, maybe the Mies of the world.
Even if they were, though, like, to stop, I guarantee in 2 or 3 years they're starting it up again. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying.
Like they did with Spider-Man.
No, I'm saying they need to not do that either.
Don't do that.
I'm saying they need to stop, like, put this to bed. Right. Stop it.
Just stop.
Stop it.
Not just
and
this.
And wait maybe a decade and say, we're going to do X-Men again, because now not just the fanboys are salivating and frothing at the mouths.
Right.
But the casual X-Men fans like Doug, you're probably more of a fanboy than I am.
I am.
The other kind of just feel like...
X-Men is one of my favorite comics, but I don't love the movies.
Yeah, so they need to wait, is my point.
Do you think that people will still be
Hugh
as...
Hugh Jackman, by the way. That's how big a fan I am.
Do you think people will still
he
be...
He peed his pants.
...as into superhero movies in 10 years, though? Or do you think this is going to
die
out at some
point? Technology is cyclical, so... I have no idea. I think that this... Part of me thinks this is a bubble that has to burst.
Yeah.
There's no way you can keep... Unless it's like Spider-Man
meets
Superman,
really just like
Batman.
Right. Is this the new status quo? Like,
right. But part of me thinks it might be.
Marvel is going to put out
because
three
Disney
movies
bought
a year
Marvel,
every year.
And now they're right. Disney bought Marvel, right?
They own Marvel and Star Wars.
And now it's like, yeah, so they're going to have, you're going to have fucking Spider-Man fighting Han Solo.
You're going to have three Marvel movies and at least one Star Wars every year, which again, as Mike has said lots of times, like, if I was 12 and I heard that news, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. And now here I am,
you're
an adult, just like, ugh.
You're waiting for,
I
like,
watch Prince Avalanche.
Right. Do I?
Anyway, I guess we'll stop talking. Thanks for talking about all of this stuff with me.
I especially enjoyed the Alf conversation.
Alf or Elf?
Alf.
We did talk about both.
And the both conversation.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening. You can always email us suggestions for shows or your feedback at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. And we will be back next week, probably with a show about a movie.
Hopefully.
We'll see. Probably not Thor the Dark World, because I cannot summon up an hour's worth of... I could barely talk about the first Thor for an hour. Like, I'm going to have another hour to say, like, yeah, Chris Hemsworth, huh? He's pretty good.
Just do a half an hour of, like, what have you seen lately? And then reluctantly transition.
It's got a lot of charisma.
Right. Yeah, all right. He's like 6'3", right?
So.
He was talking about his height. Like, he's pretty. So
strong. I wonder if they're going to.
His brother was in the games.
You think they're going to stick the landing with that Avengers movie?
Do you know? He was in a Star Trek. He's an original. He's actually James.
It's a terrible name.
He's James Tiberius Kirk's. That's a terrible name.
George Kirk.
What if we name him Tiberius? That's a horrible name.
By the way, that opening scene in Star Trek, the first Star Trek with Jennifer Morrison and Thor, just that scene is better than anything in Into Darkness.
Yeah, you're probably right. And I still have an issue with the size of the mining vessel, but that scene is great.
You will always have an issue with the size of the mining vessel.
I have issues with many vessels.
Remember, guys, it's not the size of the mining vessel. It's the, how you kill Spock with it.
It's the red matter that you plumb.
Bye.